This is the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. And national politics are once again intersecting with state politics this week. This time, Darren Bailey of Xenia, former Republican gubernatorial nominee and current congressional candidate, went to the U.S.-Mexico border. With him was an Illinois state representative, Blaine Willauer, a Republican from Beecher City. They are calling for changes to federal immigration policy and Illinois' self-designated status as a sanctuary state, which goes back to legislation passed in 2017 during the Bruce Rauner administration. To join us to talk about what happened and talk about what else is happening as the state legislature reconvened this week is Mike Miletich, state capitol reporter for WAND-TV, the NBC station serving Decatur, Springfield, and Champaign-Urbana. Mike, welcome back to the 21st show.
Glad to be back, Brian, and I wish I had the MBA skills, but yeah. I focused on reporting there.
Fair enough. All right. Certainly there have been ongoing conversations at the national level about changes to border and immigration policy. We're going to get more into that with Linda Kenyon in a few minutes here. But what were Bailey and Willauer calling for as far as federal policy is concerned?
Well, it was pretty evident when they showed up there at the border that their main concern was the border wall. Darren Bailey is running for Congress and is vying to get the endorsement of the former president. And his big thing that he had on his mic stand was build the Trump border wall. And obviously, this has been a discussion that's been up for a few years now. People want to continue the wall, but Democrats obviously are more concerned about trying to make sure that people are safely coming into the country. The other thing that people were talking about at the border, it was not just Darren Bailey and Representative Blaine Willauer. They were standing alongside a woman who's running for Congress from Texas. Now, they share a lot of the same sentiments, but Blaine Willauer was there solely to say that Illinois needs to repeal that sanctuary status that you talked about just a minute ago. Now, as you noted, this was actually a thing that took place during the Rauner administration. And a lot of people frequently blame Governor Pritzker for having the sanctuary status, but it dates back well before him. And it's just become a very interesting talking point for the GOP here in Illinois that people say, well, there's so many migrants coming to Chicago and other surrounding suburbs and potentially further downstate. We think the best way to rid this issue is by repealing that sanctuary status. But it's not that easy, and it's highly unlikely that the state will actually repeal that status.
Well, you know, it's interesting because a lot of the migrants coming here are coming because Texas Governor Greg Abbott and his allies are putting them on buses to send them here. But also, I mean, what does that even mean, sanctuary status? Because the people that are getting most of the media attention these days are people seeking asylum, which sanctuary status is for people who are undocumented, who don't have a legal pathway to citizenship. It says that the state won't turn them over to federal immigration authorities. Asylum is a different thing, right?
Exactly. And that's a very important point. Basically, that sanctuary status was meaning that if people come to Illinois and also come to Chicago because there's a sanctuary city status there, law enforcement cannot provide information to ICE officials. And that was pretty well known dating back to 2017. And it seems that a lot of people have forgotten that point, and they have said that the new arrivals to the country are part of that same exact group, but that is completely different. And people that are coming here right now are trying to go through the process to ensure that they can have asylum here. You know, they are meeting with people at a grounding point in Chicago where they could start the process and try to make sure that they can have a way that they can find living. You know, there's a lot of shelters in the Chicagoland area, and they're also trying to make sure these people have access to some sort of money as they try to become Americans.
So I think you mentioned the fact that there was a big pro-Trump sign on the sort of microphone stand as they were doing this virtual news conference. What did and former Republican gubernatorial nominee Darren Bailey is running in a primary campaign against Republican Congressman Mike Vost, who's been in the Congress for, I think this is his fifth term, to about 10 years now. What did he have to say about the fact that these, you know, Republican legislators were down there? And meanwhile, Republicans in Washington are unable to. Some Republicans are trying to make a border deal. Other ones are scuttling it. It's just a lot of moving parts here.
That's a great point. When they were there at the border on Monday, we still had the possibility that a border deal was going to get passed. But of course, negotiations were going behind closed doors, and Senate Republicans felt that they had a good thing going there. I had asked for a person physically there in Texas to ask on my behalf if Bailey would support this plan if he was an active member of Congress. And he said that he would not support anything of that magnitude because he feels that the border should be completely shut down. Meanwhile, at the same time that he's saying this, he said that we're going to support the Border Patrol troops and everybody that's here. Well, the U.S. Border Patrol Union endorsed the bipartisan border deal. Of course, that was before everything fell apart, and it looks like that border plan is no longer moving forward. But it's a very dicey situation when it comes to not only the GOP in Congress, but also those members that are vying to be a part of Congress here in Illinois.
So Republicans are in a super minority status in the Illinois General Assembly. I mean, is this basically them, you know, attempting to get media attention and I guess us succeeding or them succeeding in, to the extent that we and other outlets have talked about it? I mean, this is not going to change Governor Pritzker's mind on the idea of Illinois becoming being a welcoming state or a sanctuary state, even though, as we said, that doesn't exactly have much to do with the current situation with migrants in Chicago.
I do think that it's becoming a big talking point during an election year. A lot of these members are facing primary opponents. You know, perfect example, Blaine Wilhauer, who was there at the border, is in a very intense primary race right now against a man who's being funded by the Illinois Education Association because of a lot of Wilhauer's votes against things for education. So potentially he's looking at ways that it's that red meat to get people excited for voting for him. You know, I'll make sure that our border is closed and that we're fighting for the sanctuary status to be removed. It's not really hitting well in terms of the statewide audience. But if you're looking at certain districts, these could be main discussion points for a lot of people.
Of course.
Perfect example.
Yeah, go ahead.
A lot of the lawmakers are talking about healthcare services being provided for free for undocumented immigrants. And they say that the costs for that have truly put a dent on services for people that are here in the state legally.
Well, this is something that I'm sure we'll continue hearing about as we go on through this election year. I do just want to take a moment to mention that the state legislature was back in session this week. They're not meeting a whole heck of a lot before the primary election in March, but what has been happening so far this session?
The biggest things that we have talked about in the first few weeks revolve around a major issue in Central Illinois in terms of a awful situation at a funeral home in Carlinville, and it involved a lot of people in the Springfield area where a funeral home director was mishandling, you know, the human remains. These poor families were finding out that they had ashes that they may have brought to let's say someone's favorite ballpark, and they said, I'm going to spread it here in Chicago to make sure my family member is there. They later find out that that is not actually their brother or their father, and that's someone else's ashes, and they may not be able to ever get their loved one because let's say that those remains went to another state. So there's two competing plans right now that could end up passing on bipartisan way later this spring. One would require new regulations for state funeral homes to ensure there's a step-by-step process for families to know how their family member is moving from death to cremation or death to burial. And that would be a chain of custody section that would be included there. The other one would very similarly hold the industry accountable. This is from the Republicans locally in the Senate and the House. It would charge anyone who is important in this industry, the funeral home operator or crematorium operator, if they are knowingly misidentifying or mishandling remains, they could be charged with a class four felony. Obviously, this discussion is causing a lot of alarm within central Illinois, but there are many lawmakers from the Chicagoland area that are also thinking of how they could help. Going back to 2009, this actually happened in my district, and my state senator brought it up. Senator Bill Cunningham remembers when Burr Oak Cemetery in the Chicagoland area had employees at the cemetery exhuming the caskets and trying to sell them again to make money. And that was a horrific situation that many thought would never happen again. But here we are in 2024 dealing with a very similar issue. So that this has been a huge talker and could be the biggest story for Central Illinois residents during this legislative session.
Interesting. Well, we will continue to follow that. Mike Miletich covers the Illinois State House. He's state capitol reporter at WAND TV. Mike, thanks for being with us again.
Absolutely, Brian. Thank you.
And we go now to Linda Kenyon to talk about what's been happening in the national political scene here on the 21st show. Linda covers the Congress for Illinois Public Media. Linda, happy Friday. Good to talk with you again.
Blissfully Friday. Good to talk with you too, Brian.
Yeah, and we only have about 5 minutes today, so we'll kind of move a little faster than we do sometimes. But once again, Ukraine border security are the top stories this week as far as the Congress goes. There we had this deal from a group of Senate Republicans we're working on with Democrats on a border deal. Republicans, I think I would say, largely got what they wanted. And then there were other Republicans who turned thumbs down just hours after the deal was unveiled. What the heck is going on there?
Yeah, really good question. What the heck is going on? Well, that's what everybody's sort of scratching their heads over. And the long and short of it is that, and I know this will come as a bit of a surprise, but it's an election year.
Wait, what?
And with an election year comes the hyper inclusion of politics. And the House rejected a border bill largely after House Speaker Mike Johnson said he had counseled with President Trump, the former president, who said, and this is the former president's words, not mine, don't give Biden a win. And he posted that on his social media. Well, the House did not pass the border bill. The Senate had its own bill, which was the one that was put together by this bipartisan group of senators. It seemed to be going quite well. And then, just as it came up for vote, it too failed, largely due to some opposition by some Democrats, but also a large number of Republicans. And so we get back to that circular argument about politics and it being an election year. And the prevailing opinion is that the former president did manage to influence the process. We had Senator Mitch McConnell, the Senate's top Republican, who initially supported the bill, then came out and spoke to reporters after and said, "I did not support the bill because it became clear to me that it would not become law." In other words, he knew that the House was either going to defeat it or not take it up at all. And therefore, based on his conversations, he said, with House Speaker Mike Johnson, he just wasn't even going to pursue the bill any further in the Senate, as opposed to letting the Senate pass its bill, the House pass its bill, and then it would go to a conference committee. In this case, it failed on both accounts.
You know, I think it's worth pausing on the policy here because this is a bill that Republicans, it had so much of what they have been saying they want. We just heard Republicans here in Illinois, candidates and state legislators going to the U.S.-Mexico border saying we have to do something. This is not a bill that progressive Democrats like Dick Durbin, our U.S. Senator, has been working for years and years on the so-called Dreamers, the young people brought here by their parents who didn't have any say in it. That was not included in this bill. It was very tough. And yet Republicans, they say it's a crisis, they say it's an emergency, and yet they turn thumbs down on it. I'm just trying to wrap my head around, you know, I guess the question comes to me, is this really an emergency if we're turning thumbs down on something like this?
Well, that's what a lot of Democrats said. They posed the question to Republicans saying, hey, we gave you everything that we could possibly give you. This is your last best chance in decades to do something about the situation at the southern border. And you said you wanted to do something on the southern border, and then you said no. This is a perfect case of letting the perfect become the enemy of the good. Or I guess it depends on your definition of good. But it certainly was one of the most consequential bills to address the issue of the southern border and immigration overhaul in general.
You know, the last thing I want to ask you about, you've been covering the Congress for a long time. We've got about a minute left. The Senate is supposed to be the place where cooler heads prevail, right? The famous world's greatest deliberative body, or self-styled anyway. What do you make of the fact that even in the Senate, they couldn't come to a deal on this?
Yeah, well, I think I'm going to have to get back to that whole, it's a political, a very hyper-political year. It's an election year. And I think that there's been an awful lot of pressure placed on Republicans in general regarding what the former president of the United States would like to see. And the former president of the United States could very well become the next president of the United States. So it behooves them to get on his good side. And, you know, there is such a thing as separation of powers built into the Constitution. But right now, that whole system seems to be giving way to the political pressures of the moment.
Well, Linda Kenyon, I am glad you give way to talking to me every Friday. I appreciate your time. Have a good weekend.
Thank you. You too, Brian.
Linda Kenyon covers the Congress in Washington for Illinois Public Media. Coming up after the break, something completely different. We're going to be talking about Valentine's Day, particularly with regard to poetry. We'll be talking with the former poet laureate of Rockford, Illinois. That's coming up after a short break. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us.